Loman Yeshua, this is Rabin Deborah Brandt, and I'm sharing the Torah portion, which is we taught this on Shabbat, and I wanted to do the recording for everybody that couldn't be there. The Torah portion is Nitz Avim Velech, and it's Deuteronomy or Devarim 31, 1 to 13. The Haftarah is Isaiah 48, 17 to 19. And as I was studying this, it just really spoke to my heart. And I just felt it was a word of encouragement for all of us who have gone through and are going through tests and trials to trust God, knowing that He will go with us. Deuteronomy 31, beginning with verse 1. And Moshe went and spoke these words to all Israel. He said to them, I am 120 years old today. I am no longer able to go out and come in. Adonai has said to me, you are not to cross over this Jordan. So here, their beloved leader of 40 years from out of Egypt and in the wilderness is preparing them to complete their journey, but he would not be with them. So he's encouraging their faith. He's pointing them to trust Adonai, to trust Yahweh Elohim. Adonai your God, he will cross over before you. He will destroy these nations from before you, and he will dispose them. Joshua will cross over before you, just as Adonai has promised. So here he's been preparing them for the new leadership, which is Joshua or Yehoshua, who will be the one to lead them over into the promised land and help them to take the land that the Father had promised them. Verse 4, Adonai will do to them just as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, and to their land when he destroyed them. Adonai will give them over to you, and you are to do to them according to all the mitzvot that I commanded you. So here again, he's pointing them to trust Adonai because he is going to give them the victory. He's going to destroy their enemies as long as they do it according to all the mitzvot that he commanded them. Then he encourages them, verse 6, Hazak, be courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble before them. For Adonai, your God, or Elohim, he is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. So again, encouraging them, letting them know to fear not. Again, Hazak, be strong, be courageous. That he will be with them. He will not fail them or abandon them. And Moshe summoned Joshua or Yehoshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong, be courageous, for you are to go with this people into the land Adonai has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you are to enable them to inherit it. So here, Moshe's reinforcing the leadership of Yehoshua in front of all Israel so that they know that he is the one who's been anointed to follow in Moshe's footsteps and bring them over into the land. Verse 8, Adonai, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail or abandon you. Do not fear or be discouraged. So again, reiterating that Adonai goes before them. He will be with them. He will not fail them. He will not abandon them. So again, they do not need to fear or be discouraged. Moshe wrote down this Torah, or the literal meaning, teachings and instructions, and gave it to the Kohanim, the sons of Levi, who carry the Ark of the Covenant of Adonai, and to all the elders of Israel. Then Moshe commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the set time of the year of canceling debts during the Feast of Sukkot, when all Israel comes to appear before Adonai, your Elohim, in the place he chooses, you are to read this Torah before them in their hearing. Gather the people, the men and the women and little ones, and the outsider within your town gates, so they may hear and so they may learn. And they will fear Adonai your God and take care to do all the words of this Torah. So here we see that this hearing of the Torah was not just for Israel, but also the outsider who has attached themselves to Israel and to the God of Israel, that they needed to hear and learn the Torah as well. So here we see it was for everybody. So verse 13, so their children who have not known will hear and learn to fear Adonai your God all the days you live on the land you are about to cross over to Jordan to possess. And two key words here, excuse me, are the word strong, which is hazak, and it's a verb meaning to be strong, to strengthen, to be courageous, to overpower. This verb is widely used to express the strength of various phenomena, such as the severity of famine, the strength of humans to overpower each other, the condition of Pharaoh's heart, David and Goliath, Ammon and Tamar, a battle situation, Samson's strength for his last superhuman performance. This word occurs in the commonly known language, be strong and of good courage. Moshe urges Yehoshua, again, Deuteronomy 31:67, to be strong. The Lord bids Joshua to be strong in taking the promised land, after which Yehoshua encourages the people in the same way. So here, again, we have the word hazak, and at the end of every Torah study, after each book, we say hazak, hazak, benit, hazak, be strong, let us be strengthened. The next word is courage, which is a similar meaning. It means courageous or amaz. It's a verb meaning to be strong, determined, bold, courageous, and to conquer. It means to be strong and courageous. This idea is translated by the New King James Version as prevailed when referring to men of Judah in war, conquered in the New American Standard Bible. A people or nation can be considered strong. The emphatic stem of the verb means to make strong or cause to grow strong. Of inanimate objects, it is used of human activity in repairing or strengthening a house or building. Metaphorically, it means to be to strengthen or hardens one attitude or strength. Again, it depends on the context. The various meanings of the word depend on the context in which it is being used in the scripture. It is also used in some contexts to mean to show courage or to show or prove oneself strong, to persist in activity or to make haste. With a slight change, it means to be better or superior. So here, again, this is a verb. They're both verbs, which means an action. Again, they both mean to be strong, to be strengthened, determined, courageous, to overpower, and to conquer. Key verses, Deuteronomy 31:3, Adonai your God, he will cross over before you. He will destroy these nations from before you, and you will dispossess them. Yehoshua will cross over before you, just as Adonai has promised. Verse 6, Hazak, be courageous, or Hazak Amaz. Do not be afraid or tremble before them, for Adonai, your Elohim, he is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. And verse 8, Adonai, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or abandon you. Do not fear or be discouraged. And again, we can take hold of these same promises in our life as we're walking our life of faith and obedience in him, as we are fulfilling what he has called us to do in him for his kingdom and his glory. We can be assured that he will cross over before us. He will prepare the way, that we can be strong and courageous in him, that he goes with us. We are not alone. His Ruach HaKodesh, his spirit is with us. His angels are guarding us. He will not fail or abandon us. And he is the one, again, who goes before us. So here he will cross over before you. He's crossing over. He's making a way through. And he also goes before us, and he will be with us. He will not fail or abandon us. Do not fear or be discouraged. Again, God expects us to walk in that same faith that he expected his people Israel to walk in, to trust him, even as they're entering into the unknown, to know that he goes with us. Our number one priority is to trust Yahweh Elohim. We look to leadership for guidance and to one another for encouragement and unity. However, leaders and people will often disappoint us because we put our eyes on the wrong thing. We need to work together. However, at times we will fail each other. But if we are trusting Yahweh Elohim, he will never fail us. Again, as leaders, we go through the same tests and trials and struggles. Believing God for healing, believing God for provision. We are walking the same road, even though with a higher accountability before Yahweh of, again, teaching you the truth. But we are to keep our eyes on him. We are to keep our eyes on his word. Again, as leaders, we are to lead and guide according to the word. We are to, again, walk in, all of us are called to walk in obedience, but often we keep our eyes on people and we expect our answers to come from them. And again, often we are disappointed because we are looking at the wrong thing. We need to be looking at Yahweh Elohim and his word. I've seen so many times when people look to leadership alone for guidance, and that leader stumbles or falls into sin, the rest like a domino go along with them. That should never be. We should always keep our eyes on Yahweh, trust him. Again, we see what happened when back in the wilderness, when the people looked to the wrong example, instead of listening to Yehoshua and Caleb, who said, yes, God said we can take the land, then we can take the land. We can go over, we can do what God said. But the 10 said, no, we can't. We're going to be devoured. We're as grasshoppers in their eyes. And the people, and again, these are all leaders that went over. And they looked to the wrong leadership. And because they looked and trusted in the wrong leadership, those 10, instead of the two, Yehoshua and Caleb, who were men of faith, they ended up missing the opportunity to go into the land. And it was the next generation. And this is who Moshe is encouraging in Deuteronomy, is the one who would go into the land. A leader, if they are doing what they ought to be doing, directs the people to trust Yahweh Elohim and not in themselves. So again, we need to, all of us are called to trust him and trust his word. That means we need to get that word into our heart. And again, faith without works is dead. If we believe, we will go. If we believe, we will do. That is what, again, Moshe was encouraging Israel, again, to that God is with us. True friends admonish us to trust in Yahweh Elohim when times are difficult. You know, a lot of times, you know, we look for answers. And again, our job for, again, as leaders and as brothers and sisters in Messiah is to point the way, to tell one another, to put our trust in Yahweh Elohim, that he will make a way, to encourage one another's faith. Again, he has told us that we can be strong, Hazak. We are told we are to lay hold of all that Yahweh Elohim has revealed himself to be as our father, our protector, our provider, and ultimately our savior in every sense of the word. Yeshua showed us how to pray to our father. Again, he is our father. Matthew 6:9-13. Therefore, pray in this way: Our Father in heaven, sanctified be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And most translations say, it's for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And yes, again, his will, he wants his will to be done on earth through us as we preach the word, as we minister to people, calling people back to him through repentance, being an example, using the authority that Yeshua gave us here on earth, that his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. He is our protector. Psalm 91, he who dwells in the shelter of Elyon will abide in the shadow of Shaddai. So again, there's a place that we need to dwell in his word, in his presence, in faith. I will say of Adonai, okay, this is, we need to say the confession of our mouth. He is my refuge and my fortress, my Elohim, in whom I trust. For he will rescue you from the hunter's trap and from the deadly pestilence. Now, this psalm was attributed to Moshe. So if anybody knew the deliverance, the refuge, the protection of all that this psalm is talking about is Moshe. And again, it's been encouraging generation after generation after generation. For he will rescue you from the hunter's trap and from the deadly pestilence. And we don't need to fear the deadly pestilence, whatever they want to call it, whatever the enemy may try to bring upon us. We can stand again in faith. The key is dwelling in his shelter. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. Again, a picture of his protection. His faithfulness is body armor and shield. You will not fear the terror by night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the plague that stalks in darkness, nor the scourge that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. Again, looking back to their deliverance from Egypt, while their enemy was being, again, was being judged by the plagues, the darkness, the scourging. When thousands were falling at their side, God protected Israel. You will only look on with your eyes and see the wicked paid back. Again, when they crossed through the Red Sea and God parted the sea, they saw their enemies swallowed up by that sea that they just walked through perfectly on dry ground. And as they walked safely through it on the other side, those waters covered their enemy. Again, why do we have that protection? Because we've made Elyon our dwelling, even Adonai, who is our refuge. So no evil will befall us, nor any plague come near our tent. For he will give his angels charge over you to guard you in all your ways. Again, we have angels that God has assigned to each and every one of us, that he has assigned to those ministries, that he has called and anointed to do his word. He has assigned angels to each and every one of our households. We don't have to see them to believe they're there, but his word says they're there, so then they're there. Upon their hands, they will lift you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. I know many of us have testimonies of his divine protection, of his angels being there and guarding us. You will tread upon the lion and cobra and trample the young lion and the serpent. And Yahweh answers back to us, yes, because he has devoted his love to me, I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he knows my name. And when he calls on me, I will answer him and I will be with him in trouble, rescue him and honor him. And with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Again, that word in salvation is Yeshua. I will show him my Yeshua, who is the way, the truth, and the life. He is our provider. He will meet all our needs. Luke 11:9-13. So I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. So again, we are to ask, we are to seek, we are to knock. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open. So again, this can go for our personal needs, our ministry. You know, we need to ask him for what we need. We are to seek his direction regarding our calling, our ministry, decisions, the wisdom we need, the understanding we need. We are to knock on the door, knock so that he will open the doors that we need to walk through. For everyone, again, who asks, receives, and the one who seeks, finds, and to the one who knocks, it will be open. What father, if his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? And if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Ruach HaKodesh to those who ask him? Again, we need, if we ask for the Ruach HaKodesh, he will give us the Ruach HaKodesh because we need the the anointing, the power, the gifts of the Ruach in our life. Philippians 4:19-20, my God or Elohim will fulfill every need of yours according to the riches of his glory in Messiah Yeshua. To our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So he has promised to meet our every need, the needs we need for our household, the needs of our children, the needs of our ministry. He has promised according to his riches, not according to the earth's riches, but according to his riches in glory. He is our Savior, Redeemer, Yeshua. Isaiah 54:4, fear not, for you will not be ashamed, nor cringe, for you will not be disgraced, for you will forget the shame of your youth, and you will remember the reproach of your widowhood no more. For your maker is your husband, Adonai Zevaot is his name. The Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. He will be called God of all the earth. For Adonai has called you back like a wife deserted and grieved in spirit, like a wife of one's youth that is rejected, says your God or Elohim. For a brief moment I deserted you, but I will regather you with great compassion. In a surge of anger I hid my face from you a moment, but with everlasting kindness I will have compassion on you, says Adonai, your Redeemer. So again, this is speaking to Israel, but also to us as well, who are grafted into the olive tree of Israel. Whether we are Jewish or from the nations, we are grafted in, we are one in him. And he has promised, even, you know, even before we knew him, in our sin, there was someone praying for us, and he protected us, and he watched over us till we came to that place of salvation, redemption. He is our Redeemer. He is our Maker, our Husband. He is the Holy One of Israel, our Redeemer, the one who has redeemed us. Acts 4:11-12. This Yeshua is the stone rejected by you, the builders, that has become the chief cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Again, Yeshua said he's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. There is no other way of salvation. There is no salvation by works. There is only salvation by faith in him. And the fruit of that salvation are holy works unto him. But praise God that he made a way where there seemed to be no way. And there is, again, no salvation in anyone else, in any way else. He exhorts us to be courageous, amaz. The two words, strong and courageous, joined together, present one idea, that a true faith in Yahweh Elohim produces strength or courage, which can stand in the face of what would otherwise be viewed as an inevitable disaster. Again, I can only use examples of our ministry because this is what we have experienced. We've all experienced different things, but this ministry would never be where it is today if we didn't take that step of faith and do what God has called us to do. If we just had a head assent to it instead of taking actions and going forward and doing what God called us to do. And yes, it takes strength and courage to do whatever God's called us to do. But he has already promised us that he will be with us. He will give us what we need for what he has called us to do. Again, this ministry was birthed 25 years ago. It was actually birthed on the 50th anniversary of Israel's rebirth as a nation. And we've just celebrated 25 years of Deborah's Messianic Ministries. And that's the name the Father gave us for the ministry because it's named after the prophetess Deborah. That's, again, not after myself, but after a Bible leader called Deborah. And, excuse me. One of our outreaches, again, our main outreach that was birthed was the Way of Messiah. It was originally called Beit Midrash Tefillah Hillel, and we changed the name to the Way of Messiah 18 years ago, going on 19 years. And it, again, it's a continual act of faith and strength of courage to stand in the face of what looks like at times failure, what looks like at times that nothing seems to be working right, but we know that we know that we know that the Father has called us to do this, and He will make a way where there seems to be no way, and He will bring the faithful people we need to fulfill this calling, because we are a team. We are all called together. But if you are called, you keep on going forward. You don't look back at your failures. You get up. If you missed it, you repent and you keep going forward until your race has been completed, until you finished what God has called you to do. We're in a time where we need to stop making excuses. Again, the examples in the Torah are examples for us to follow of what it takes to be victorious, what it takes to be a mighty man or woman of Yahweh Elohim, and what happens when we believe HaSatan's lies instead of Yahweh's word. We fail when we believe the lies of HaSatan. Again, we see that in the wilderness examples. Again, he's a liar, and he is his mode of operation hasn't changed since Adam and Hava. He always tries to get you to doubt what God has called you to do, to doubt what his word says. Well, he is a liar, and he is the father of lies, and the only truth is God's truth. Again, the word hazak means to be strong, to strengthen, to be courageous, to overpower, and amaz, a verb meaning to be strong, determined, bold, courageous, and conquered. This is what he has called us to do. Again, what he has called us to do has not changed since the very beginning. He expects his people to walk in faith and trust in him. So in his power and his might, we can be strong. Ephesians 6:10-18, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you are able to stand against the schemes of HaSatan. Now, that word put on is in the form of a command in the Greek, to put it on and not take it off. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the powers, against the worldly forces of this darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. So here, this is where our warfare is. It's in the spiritual realm. Okay, and the enemy uses people, just like the Father uses people for his will to be done on earth. The enemy uses people for his will to be done on earth. Again, he's a counterfeiter. He's a copycat. He uses people, again, who are influenced by these demonic forces, cities who have been assigned by these demonic forces to keep God's will from being done in the earth. But he has already given us all that we need, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And I did a 3-part teaching on our spiritual warfare and to know the enemy, to know who he is and how he operates. And again, this verse is saying, don't look at the flesh and blood. Fight against the spiritual powers that are working behind those evil forces. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist when the times are evil. And after you have done everything, to stand firm. So the Father has given us spiritual armor to wear. What is the spiritual armor? Stand firm, then buckle the belt of truth around your waist and put the breast on the breastplate of righteousness. Strap your feet in readiness with the good news of shalom. Above all, take up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So it is that, again, shield of faith that extinguishes all the flaming arrows. What are those flaming arrows? The lies, the doubt, the unbelief that the enemy, the discouragement, fear, everything the enemy is trying to use us from, keeping us from going forward. That shield of faith, that trust in the Father, will extinguish those flaming arrows. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's why in prayer, again, the helmet of salvation, knowing who we are in Messiah Yeshua as his redeemed, the sword of the Spirit, speaking forth the word of Yahweh Elohim in the face of the enemy, which is what Yeshua did in the wilderness. Pray in the Ruach on every occasion with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, keep alert with perseverance and supplication for all the Kedoshim. So again, we are to pray in the Ruach. The Father has given us, again, a heavenly prayer language, the spirit of Yahweh Elohim indwelling us, who helps us to pray. Again, Romans points it out, helps us to pray on every occasion with all kinds of prayers and requests. Again, we have, you know, siddurs and books, you know, to help us to pray. And again, a prayer is a very, you know, personal thing when it comes to our personal prayer life. And again, the Ruach leads us, you know, daily what to pray, how to pray, who to pray for. And I always say, if you pray in the Spirit and pray the Word, you're going to stay on target. He said that we could be strengthened. He has promised his strength, and that strength comes from the Word. Acts 15:32, Judah and Silas, prophets themselves, encouraged the brothers and sisters with a long message and strengthened them. Acts 16:5, so Messiah's communities were strengthened in the faith and kept increasing daily in number. Again, notice communities. We are strengthened by coming together as well, encouraging one another, strengthening one another. Romans 4:20, yet he did not waver in unbelief concerning the promises of God. Rather, he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Ephesians 3:16, I pray that from his glorious riches, he would grant you to be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Ruach. Again, this was a prayer of Shaul for the believers. Colossians 1:11, we pray that you may be strengthened with all the power that comes from his glorious might. For you to have all kinds of patience and steadfastness with joy. Again, when we are standing and believing God, we need to have patience and steadfastness, trusting him that in his perfect timing, what we need, our prayers being answered, et cetera, will be done if we don't turn back, if we don't give up, again, with joy. 1 Timothy 1:12. I thank Messiah Yeshua, our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, appointing me to service. And that's the same for all of us. Again, he has appointed us to service, and we want to be able to say, yes, he considered me faithful. Yes, Father, no matter what I have been through, I have remained and will still remain faithful. Again, we've all been through the loss of loved ones, loss of jobs, children who have gone astray, sickness that we've had to stand against, doubts, fears, discouragements, disappointments. But we continue to consider that he is faithful, and we will remain faithful to him. 2 Timothy 2:1, therefore, my child, be strengthened in the grace that is in Messiah Yeshua. Our strength is in Messiah Yeshua. 2 Timothy 4:17, but the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be proclaimed in full measure, and all the nations might hear, and I was rescued from the lion's mouth. So here Paul is, you know, sharing again, all the apostles suffered greatly, but they didn't veer off the path. They stayed on the path that the Father had called them. And again, when he will strengthen us, and he will be with us even during those times of persecutions, those times of tests and trials. He is with us, and he will rescue us from the lion's mouth. Again, we are to be courageous. Joshua 1:18. Whoever rebels against your command and does not obey your words and all that you command him, he will put to death. Only be strong and courageous. Again, you may think, well, that sounds really harsh. Well, a rebel is, again, someone who is going against the will of God, who is trying to being really a servant of Satan, a vehicle of Satan, trying to come against the leadership from bringing again, them forward, Israel forward into what God had promised them. This was a very serious thing, and it had to be nipped in the bud when, again, people rebelled, because that rebellion was, again, from HaSatan, because he's the rebel from the beginning, keeping them from going forward. So Yehoshua warns them, or actually Yahweh Elohim, who warned him to only, again, be strong and courageous. He told him three or four times in this chapter, be strong and courageous. It takes strength and courage to be a leader. It takes strength and courage to continue on when even people are coming against you. 1 Chronicles 22:13, then you will prosper if you carefully observe the statutes and the ordinances that Adonai commanded Moshe concerning Israel. Hazak, and be courageous. Do not be afraid or be dismayed. So again, you see all these scriptures we've been reading. We're called to be strong, courageous. He will strengthen us. We are not to fear or be dismayed. Again, the enemy wants us to fear. He wants us to be dismayed. He wants us to get our eyes off the word, because he works in the realm of circumstances. He works in the realm of what is seen. And we need to work in the realm of what is not seen. We need to work in the realm of knowing that God is working behind the scenes, and that what he had promised us, he will bring to pass in our lives in the name of Yeshua. 1 Chronicles 28:20. Also, David said to his son Solomon, Hazak, and be courageous. Again, strong and courageous, and do it. Do not be afraid or dismayed, for Adonai Elohim, my Elohim, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you until all the work of the Avodah of the house of Adonai is finished. So again, David passing on that same command to Solomon to be strong and courageous. 2 Chronicles 32:7, Hazak, be courageous. Do not be afraid or dismayed by the king of Assyria and the whole horde that is with them, for we have more with us than he has with him. Same thing, we have more angels with us than the enemy has demons coming against us, or enemies coming against us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we need to remind ourselves of this constantly. We need to hide this in our heart. We need to speak it forth when the enemy is trying to contradict what the word says. We stand on what the word says, knowing that the Father is faithful. He will not leave us or abandon us. Nahum 2:2. A shatterer has come against you. Guard the rampart. Watch the way. Hazak, be very courageous. Again, speaking of the enemies of Israel, how are we to guard? We are to watch with the word of God, through prayer, through fasting, through his word. Again, we are to be very courageous. The enemy will not overpower his people. We will overpower the enemy. Matthew 16:18. And I also tell you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my community, and the gates of Sheol will not overpower it. Community in the Greek is ekklesia, which means called out ones, and is used in Septuagint to translate the Hebrew kahal, assembly, congregation, community. That's what we are. The usual English translation of ekklesia is church, and from it comes the word ecclesiastical, meaning having to do with the church. And I believe the church is really from the Latin, but the original, and I don't know why the English didn't just translate it in the King James instead of church as, again, assembly or called out ones, because that makes so much more sense. But it depends on the translator, you know, how they are translating the original word. But in most of your Messianic translations, they don't use the term church. They use the term assembly, or called out ones, or kahila. The Jewish New Testament sometimes uses Messianic community or congregation to render ecclesia. What is being spoken about is a spiritual community of people based on trust in God and his son Messiah Yeshua. So us as a ministry, we don't have our own building. We're kind of like, you know, the Israelites in the wilderness, you know, going from place to place as the Father leads us. We trust him that one day, hopefully, we will have a more permanent place. But it's not the place that makes us a community. It's us together that makes us a community, an assembly of called out ones. Therefore, we could have a Shabbat in the park and still be, again, an assembly of believers. We can, again, rent the community space and still be an assembly of believers, because we are, again, that movable tabernacle of Yahweh Elohim, bringing the word, excuse me, wherever we go. It's not, again, a building. It's a called out ones, a group of people who are working together. This can be all people throughout history who so commit themselves, or a group of such people at a particular time and place, such as a Messianic community in Corinth or Jerusalem. The phrase ecclesia, that meets in their house, Romans 6:15, refers to a particular congregation. Unlike church, ecclesia never refers either to an institution or to a building. So again, sometimes, again, in the first century, they met in a house, or could also, that word house is beit, and it could also refer to, again, a synagogue. It's a place of meeting. Excuse me. We are to be determined to grow and to know. And that word know in the Hebrew is yada, means to intimately know, to have a close, intimate relationship. 1 Corinthians 2:2, for I am determined to know nothing among you except Yeshua HaMashiach and him crucified. John 17:3, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Yeshua HaMashiach, whom you have sent. Philippians 3:7, but whatever things were gained to me, these I have considered as loss for the sake of the Messiah. Verse 8, more than that, I consider all things to be loss in comparison to the surpassing value of the knowledge of Messiah Yeshua, my Lord. Because of him, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I consider them garbage in order that I might gain Messiah. Verse 9 to 11, and be found in him, not having my righteousness derived from Torah, but one that is through trusting in Messiah, the righteousness from God based on trust. My aim is to know him and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, if somehow I might arrive at the resurrection from among the dead. So again, our focus needs to be to know him. That should be our desire, our craving every day, is to know him. I know it's easy to get distracted, you know, from the things of the world, with our work sometimes, with people pulling on us from all directions, but we all need that private time, that appointment with the Father, you know, whether it's morning or evening. We need to spend that time in the secret place of the Most High and abide in the shadow of the Almighty. How do we know him? We know him through the study and meditation of his word. We know him through spending time in prayer. And his word reveals who he is, how he operates, his justice, his grace, his mercy, his salvation in Messiah Yeshua. Messiah Yeshua is our example of how we are to walk, how we are to live in this life. We are to be bold in Messiah Yeshua. Psalm 138:3, on the day I called, you answered me. You made me bold with strength in my soul. Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. Acts 4:13, and now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and figured out that they were laymen without training, they were amazed. They began to realize that these men had been with Yeshua. Again, when they said laymen without training, they weren't trained as, okay, in, again, the priesthood, in the, by, you know, in the traditional rabbinical schools. They were trained by Yeshua himself, and you can't get any higher, better training than that. And what did they realize? These men had been with Yeshua. They saw that same, that anointing, that boldness in Messiah Yeshua. Acts 4:31. And when they had prayed, the place where they were gathered was shaken, and they were all filled with the Ruach HaKodesh and began to speak the word of God with boldness. So it was at the infilling of the Ruach that their boldness came to speak forth the word. Acts 28:31, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the Lord or Master Yeshua the Messiah with all boldness and without hindrance. 2 Corinthians 3:12, therefore, having such a hope, we act with great boldness. Ephesians 3:12, in him we have boldness and access with confidence through trusting in him. Ephesians 6:19, and pray for me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the good news. We need to pray for one another that we would have boldness and courage and strength to do what he has called us to do. Hebrews 3:6, but Messiah as son is over Yahweh's house, and we are his house. If we hold firm to our boldness and what we are proud to hope. So again, we are to hold firm to the boldness we have and what we are proud to hope, and our hope in him, that hope of eternal life in Messiah Yeshua. Hebrews 4:16, therefore, let us draw near to the throne of grace with boldness so that we may receive mercy and find grace for help in time of need. We can come with boldness. That doesn't mean without respect or awe. It means that we can, again, we are allowed into the Holy of Holies. We are allowed before the throne of grace to receive what we need in the name of Yeshua. Hebrews 10:19, therefore, brothers and sisters, we have boldness to enter into the holies by the blood of Yeshua. We have been invited into the holy place because of our faith and because of the shed blood of Yeshua. Hebrews 10:35, therefore, do not lose your boldness, which has great reward. Yeah, we need boldness in the days we are living in because the enemy is getting more bolder himself, using more and more people in high places to come against our freedom as believers. But greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:17, in this way, love is made perfect among us so that we should have boldness on the day of judgment. For just as he is, so we are in this world. Speaking of Yeshua. Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So here Yeshua is with us, again, speaking to the apostles, but also all those that would come after through faith in him, that he is with us even to the end of the age. Isaiah 48:17, thus says Adonai, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am Adonai, your Elohim, who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way you should go. Our faith trust is based upon his word and his promises. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. To end Psalm 19, beginning with verse 8, the Torah of Adonai is perfect, restoring the soul. The testimony of Adonai is trustworthy, making the simple wise. The precepts of Adonai are right, giving joy to the heart. The mitzvot of Adonai are pure, giving light to the eyes. The fear of Adonai is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Adonai are true and altogether righteous. They are more desirable than gold, yes, more than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them is great reward. In Psalm 37:3-5, trust in Adonai and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on faithfulness. Delight yourself in Adonai, and he will give you the requests of your heart. Commit your way to Adonai, trust in him, and he will do it. So we are to trust, delight, and commit. We are called to walk by faith. When the enemy tries to come with his lies, we refute those lies with the word of Yahweh Elohim. In the King James, it says, delight yourself in Adonai, he will give you the desires of your heart. And I believe as we delight in him, his desires become our desires. Why? Because he has what's best for us. So as we trust, delight, and commit our way, commit our walk, commit our life to him, trust in him, he will do what we need to fulfill our calling, to fulfill this life in him. Hazak, hazak, v'nich hazek. Be strong, and we will be strong or strengthened. In Yeshua's name, amen.